O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set the glory above the heavens from the lips of children and infants, teenagers, and all of us. You have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what are we? What are these children of God that you are mindful of them? The children that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us ruler of the works of your hands. You have put everything under our feet, all flocks, herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Mindful of us. What are we that God would be mindful of us? 25 years ago to this day, came up here from Brooklyn, New York, never been up in this area. Coming up that boat, when I went to Wenatchee, I said, oh my Lord, I'm going back home. That's like a desert over there, right? I mean, it was something I never understood. And then I got on the boat and came up here, and there was about 8 staff, and we did the same things we're all doing now. We cleaned up the place, got it ready for people. 25 years ago, came to Holden Village. And like so many of you, youth groups were what built this place. It was young people like yourself when this place was in a shambles, and you'd come up and try to fix a few things, and then miraculously over the 25 years, somehow the place is here and it's serving as it did from the beginning. But that 25 years ago, sitting downstairs, you know where Wes's pool hall is? It was still Wes's pool hall then. And in the back room where the ping pong, I think there's a ping pong table, and next to it may be a foosball or a little pool table. There used to be a place where some of the young folks would go, the Luther League groups, and they would dance down there, because we had one of these cheap little record players, and they played like some of the ones from Celebration Lutheran. Where are you? All right. Oh, yeah, that you're my made up music here. I want to, can you go into it? I want to. Hey, can't you do it? Oh, you were doing wonderful outside, see? Anyway, this is what they were doing. And then there was this girl, Nancy Jo Olson, didn't know that was her name. And she was with her Luther League group from Mercer Island. You know Mercer Island? Some of you may know. It's where all those well-off folks isolate themselves on a little island, like in Bellevue. Anywhere where upward mobility, where the Porsche was the symbol. You know, or the BMW, or your father ran around a 64 Chevy, but you know, some people just didn't have it. But that young girl was down in that room dancing with another girl, because it was hard to get guys to dance at those times. I'm sure it's changed. And here I was, this college dropout for the second time in 4 years, dishwasher, a real future ahead. In those days, hair probably about the same today, but in those days it would have been unusual. And I'm sitting there in my isolated, lonely self, as I usually was, and they're dancing, and then they sit down, and then her friend comes over with a little folded over note, and it opened it up and it said, I have a crush on you, but don't worry. Can you imagine sending a 21-year-old man a little note saying, I have a crush on you, but don't worry? That's what God says to us. I have a crush on you. Well, I think he says, you better start worrying. But then I noticed why I noticed her. Because in those days, a lot of the young girls wore boys' jeans with the zippers in the front, and her zipper was open. And so I noticed her, you see. This is very important now. The whole message is right here. It's how do we notice? How do we notice those who we don't notice that are trying to reach us, maybe? Huh? How do we connect? Most of you won't be as fortunate. She also gave me 5 years to finish college, didn't you? What'd you say?
I said, in 5 years, you're going to finish college, and I will marry you.
Do you notice? No. That's like God speaking, right? You will. Finish. You think your mom was an angel compared to this young lady. And in 5 years, almost to the day, graduated from Wagner College, Staten Island, New York, and she happened to be in the audience to cheer, and my mother, thankfully. And then we got married that summer, and I've been living for 20 years. Now, anyone who want to be set up here tonight, just come, Nancy and I, and we'll start doing Boy, there's a lot of good group. Where's the group with all the young men? I mean, there's one like 11. Where are they? Can they all stand up? Just stand up. All right. Young ladies, little notes. I don't know about zippers and all those things, but pay attention the way you've learned. And what we need to do tonight, just briefly, is sort of get in touch, not with all those other places out there that calling to us and need us, but to go back to your community. You got away from it, and now tonight I'm going to ask you to go back to it. Go back to your neighborhood. 25 years ago, something else happened on TV. It's the longest national running children's show in the nation. You remember who he was? All right, Mr. Rogers, remember? Can anybody sing the little song? Come on, I want to hear it. Da-da-da-da. And wasn't it fun? I mean, maybe you outgrew him. I hope not. Because what did Mr. Rogers do for all of us? He put on his little shoes. Everybody notices he puts on his little clothes. He's always the same, it seems. And then he does something. He always brings into the community, you know, the postman or woman today. He brings the baker in, or he brings you to a place to see how things work. It's very important lessons. You learned that in first grade, remember, when you finally got out of kindergarten? And now we're going to move from our little family circle, and we're going to move out into the community, and we bring in Officer John, or whoever they bring in these days. In our community, they bring the drug people in to teach about, they call them DARE, and they drive around in black Cadillacs with the word DARE, and to say that you can live this way and drive a Cadillac too. Anyway, the times have changed, but some things haven't. There's another show on TV, it's new, and it does the same thing with the neighborhood. I love it. I don't usually care for these shows. It's called The Simpsons. Anybody here watch them? How does The Simpsons go? I want you to consciously think of these things. The Simpsons begins. How does it begin? The Simpsons. And then you start moving around where? Work. First, he's in a nuclear plant, right? He's kind of I hope that's not the kind of person we have in these plants. He's the kind of would touch his tongue with the radioactive stuff just to see it glow, I think. But anyway, you go to the workplace, right, where all that stuff happens. Work. Oh, it's important. You got to work, make money, do something. And then what happens? Where do they go? The school where it all takes place. This is where you're socialized, you learn, you're gonna find out what it means to be in the race. And if you're a lower income person, you start the race in where? A program that's been running for 20 years. It's called Head Start. So we get all these little black kids and Asian kids and white kids and Native American kids, and we say, get on your mark, get set. Because now we're gonna give you a chance to beat this guy. Oh, are you out of school or what? You got problems? We'll talk to you later. Oh, no. So serious. And then from the school, mom comes around in her station wagon, and what happens? The Simpsons. The what? And then where do they go? They go home to mom, dad, the brother and the sister who's very smart, and the little one that goes, I love that one, he goes sucking on that pacifier. And then they plop themselves down where? On the couch. And then the TV comes on, and then whatever the show is about that particular day. It's an interesting show. But what I would like you to think about is the wisdom of that show is it takes us first to where the people are and how things work, the workplace, the school, and then to the home where it should be a safe place. One person says that the most dangerous place in America today is where? It's in the home. The place where there should be sanctuary, the word sanctuary means a place set aside so you're safe. Anybody's been involved with the Central American issue and people who have come from that country to find sanctuary in a church so that all the outside forces, those things that would take them apart, there would be some safety there, right, Steve? That there would be a place in marriage. In marriage counseling, when I used to do that at PLU, I got a lot of PLU folks here, it's kind of fun. I would often say to them, make sure when you get married, when you're individuals and now you're going to be husband and wife, which is a different thing, when you get together in that place called home, that it be a sanctuary, that it be a safe place from all those structures out there that you and I work in and live in our communities that play upon us. So tonight, if you will, go back to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Go back to The Simpsons if you want to be up to date. Or go back to your beginnings. You see, your experiences are what's important here this weekend. Not what you will do, but what has already shaped and formed you or deformed you. Or perverted your way of seeing. So that, like me looking through these glasses, if I don't look carefully, I don't wear these things that somebody graciously fixed just 5 minutes ago, I won't be able to do, I can't read. It's distorted, and that's sort of a way of sin. It distorts the world and twists it just enough so that the reality is not what it should be. And so today, I heard all the youth workers, or who, just all the youth leaders, or whoever you, whatever you call yourselves, just raise your hands.
Advisors.
All those folks, we all gathered, right? And I was listening to you, and as you were listening to each other, and one of the things many folks said is they want to get to know each other. Isn't that funny? There's something about you. I don't know what. Oh, yes, I do. There's something about all of us, as we heard, that's a little less than the angels here. And we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. I love that song, because you bump and touch. Isn't it fun? You know, the rump's going, and it gets you in touch, right? I mean, literally. And what I would like us to say is that there's two realities always seeming to work in our world, because the world is a strange and wonderful place, but it's also one that distorts things. And so there's two communities. I'd like to keep you, the images going here. There's a Salishan. How many from Oregon? I want a student to answer this. Salishan. Anyone ever hear of Salishan from Oregon? Anybody tell me what kind of place it is? Loud, just to speak up. It's a resort? Is it expensive? Do you know? Some do and some don't. This is very interesting because sometimes we don't know. Is it expensive? It is very expensive. It's a 5-star resort, right? What does that mean? It's fun. I mean, they got everything. Hot tubs, cold tubs, swimming tubs. I mean, I'm sure they got everything for every need. And everything would be there for you so that you could forget the whole nasty world out there and all its problems and all your problems, and you will have a recreated or time to be renewed. That's Salishan 1. Where is it? On the Oregon coast? I have a t-shirt. Someone from PLU brought me one when I took the call to this other Sal Shan. And here's the images I'd like you to keep. Because there's another Sal Shan, and it's in East Tacoma. And when I was campus pastor at PLU, some of you, I don't know, when did you graduate? 84? When did we leave? 85. Okay, so when we told the administrators, we're leaving PLU, we're going to go down, we didn't say down, we're going to Sal Shan, we said. And sure enough, Dr. Jungkunst, the provost, and Dr. Ricci, and all these others said, oh, congratulations, Ron and Nancy. They're congratulating us. I'm looking at them. Why are they so happy for us? Because they didn't know. They assumed, because of how they think and how things are structured, that we as pastor on PLU's campus, which is a prestigious university for the Lutheran Church, that we were going to which Sal Shan? The one that you mentioned, the five-star one, to do ministry. They didn't even know there was a Sal Shan on the east side of Tacoma. They had never heard of that housing project where low-income people live. And they never needed to know. Because you know where it is? It's hit. Interstate 5 cuts the city right in half. And then there's the Tacoma Dome where people go. And then on the other side is a bunch of trees and some houses. Why should anybody pay attention to this? And I remember, because when we told, and I'll say his name because I love him and he's a friend, Dr. Jungkunst, the head of the whole faculty of PLU, he said, why are you going to that godforsaken place? Did you hear that? Why would we be going to a godforsaken place? He didn't mean it in a derogatory term. But what he let out something about his perception. I mean, why would Lutherans be there? There's no other major denomination down there. There's a few street Baptist congregations and so forth. Why should we go work with the poor? Someone else should do it. You see. And what happened is we missed it because the structures got in the way. I worked with a pastor who, when I talk about low income and people who are in problems, and he would say, well, I pay my taxes. That was his justification, not to have to open his eyes. I pay my taxes, right? Wrong, because you know what that pastor forgot? You know us clergy, we're kind of cheats. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but clergy types like you and I, what do we do right off the top? We skim the top. I take off on my income tax before I even declare my income. How much can I take off? Yeah, well, how much is the limit? What do they give you? Up to? You don't know. In some places, you can go that high. You realize if I make $30,000, which you do, I take $10,000 right off the top. And this same man who said he pays taxes, guess what else we do then when it comes time to fill out our income tax forms? This is structure, by the way, how the thing works, to my advantage, by the way. The next thing I do is, how much do we pay in interest a year on that dinky house we own? $4,000 in interest. The principal we pay about $10. Okay, no, seriously. You pay up front, right? The structure is, if you got a $65,000 house, which we have, it'll cost us, finally, if we pay all the interest, about $250,000. No one ever told me that if we could pay in the principal separate from the interest. Anyway, we take off that $5,000, right? Guess, you know what we look like on IRS forms? Nancy and I and my son Philip and Nicole are poor. We pay our taxes. You see, and if we, the clergy, the people who praise God and tell others that they should be sacrificing, are not willing to face the structures that benefit me. And so what I ask you in your community, what benefits you? How does the food supply and the medical and all that stuff, do you need those things? Guess who benefits from the big sales at Safeway? I love this. Not the poor folks who at the end of the month, starting right now from the 15th on, when there's a sale on chickens for 50, I'm the shopper, a sale on chickens for 59 cents a pound. Who buys all those chickens? Gene? Yeah, middle class. And we not only buy one chicken. You know, I go in there sometimes and I buy 10 chickens. Because what do I put them in? Put them in a freezer. Oh, everybody has freezers, right? Of course. And the structures are set up for the likes of you and me. And I'd ask you to go into them and look at them and to see really what does it mean as we move on. I need a PLU grad or somebody going to PLU. You want to be a goof for a minute? Come on. He's a nice big guy. I'll challenge you. You want to come up here?
Okay.
Now, we have something in common. Stick your foot out. Just so, what do we got on? Oh, look at that. See, we all know what these are. These are not the Kmart specials, are they? Kmart now has one that looks like this. You're not going to catch me in those, or you. No. How much are they?
These were,
don't tell them.
$50.
What? Don't you know there's hungry people out there? You have nerve to buy 50. These cost 70. I like them. And we celebrate them, by the way, because they're good things. But no, don't go away.
Oh, okay.
You've got a lot more coming. How many of you are in high school? Now, some of you, I assume, are going to move on. How many are thinking, at least, of college? Whoa. College. Oh. You go to college, it's like the wilderness area. At home, it's the oppressed. You know, it's like the Exodus story. At home, most of the people that make your decision is probably mom, dad, and somebody, or who controls the money or the that kind of stuff. And it's like being in bondage. And then college is like what? It's like being in the wilderness area.
Yeah.
You know, where for 4 or 5 or 10 years, depending on what schedule you're on, you go to school, and guess what? Hey, mom is not looking over my shoulder. Hey, the advisors aren't here either. Oh, you laugh. Freedom. Hey, I want to eat a pizza at 2:30 in the morning. I'm going to eat a pizza. And mom's not there. And dad's not there. The hall advisors are sometimes there, but they usually look the other way. Oh, it's fun, and you start making decisions for yourself. I think I will go out with that person. Oh, but he's black. Why black? And then you go to PLU. This is the school of the Lutherans. It's the largest Lutheran school. And guess who owns it? Who owns PLU? Steve, say it loud. That church is, you own PLU. You may not be able to go there because it's so expensive, but you own it, and you can always say, I own PLU. I own the piece of the action. And you know why it's so expensive to go there? He's going to tell us. Tell me something. When you're sick, where do you go at PLU?
When you're sick?
Yeah, you get a stomach ache.
Oh, you go to the free clinic.
Free clinic. What else can you, if you got some sexual problem there, especially say with safe sex, what will they give you?
Free condom.
Well, you say it loud.
A free condom.
Yeah, the whole world talks about condoms. We say,
yeah. Condoms. Here I'm a sex ed teacher too.
Oh. Okay, they give free condoms. Thank you. Okay. And now you're hungry. I mean, you look like me.
Right.
And you're hungry, and you live on campus. Where do you go?
The cafeteria.
Where's the cafeteria? Have you been there lately?
No, not for a while.
Okay, when you walk in the university center, on the right-hand side is what? Always an important desk. There's always one of those in any university.
Oh, the ticket taker, right?
Yeah, ticket. What else can you get there? Licorice?
I can't remember. What
just information.
It seems like I just told them my number.
Yeah.
Tell them food service number.
Okay, but when you walk in, anyone recently at PLU? There's a symbol there that when you walk by on the right-hand side before you go in to get your food, every single day, every single meal, you will see something sitting there with lights on, and you'll just probably walk by and not even pay much attention. What is it? A what? No, the Coke machine's on the other side. Bank cashing card. What does this continue to tell? It doesn't have to say a word. What does this tell us at PLU? What's the creed for Citicorp? Some of you may not pay attention to these, but I do. There's a creed. It says Americans want to, say it out loud. Americans want to succeed, not just survive. Which implies to me, we work with survivors in Salishan. They're not part of the American system. And in fact, they're not. They don't use credit cards. Okay, you go in and get your food. How much can you eat in there?
Just some advice. Get a scholarship. The loans are terrible.
No, tell them that later. Yeah. Okay, no, you got more.
Oh, more?
Oh, boy, my Lord. I gotta get away with this.
Okay.
Okay, and didn't you work for Residential Life?
Right.
Yeah. You know what the budget of Residential Life is?
It's a lot. We get a lot. Pop machine money.
Pop machine. They even have a pop machine that does what to you on the other side? You put a 50 cents in and it does what? Because nobody else.
Oh, it talks to you.
It talks to you.
That's right. Yeah. It says, I want more money.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You need to put in more money. We were the first ones to get that on the whole state, I think.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Oh, it was
great. Oh, PLU's advancing.
First one with the dollar changer thing. Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I hope they took that dastardly thing out.
Well, every school has them now.
Yeah, every school has them. You were the first. Wonderful. A pop machine that talks to you, a cash machine that will tell you that Americans want to succeed, not just survive, and then you walk into the food play. Oh, the food is wonderful at PLU. You turn out to be these one young, skinny, wonderful, adoring women, and then after 4 years, you got loot. What do they call it?
But
you say it.
One semester, loot butt.
Loot butt. All that macaroni and cheese and pizza starts settling, and you start being shaped and molded. They call it that. I never called it that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, we got some more things though.
Okay, what else?
You got a spiritual problem.
Spiritual problem.
You got a spiritual problem. You're on campus. You need some spiritual guidance. What does the university provide?
Pastors.
Pastors. How many recently?
Counselors.
You may not have been there.
I think there's three now, isn't there?
Three. Oh, three pastors for 3,000 students. Not bad ratio. Okay. What happens if you got a psychological problem, like just about anything?
Go to a psychologist or...
How many psychologists?
That's a good question. Do you know?
There's about six. And what else? If you're severely depressed, if you are like so many of the women, and some cases men, who are anorexic or bulimic, they have what?
You have crisis centers. You've got hall directors and paid staff and blah, 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 blah.
And a paid psychiatrist. And these are all the good, well-adjusted, middle-class, educated, upward-mobile, future-oriented young folks. Why do they need so much services?
We're messed up, I guess.
I'm not being funny here, but why do we need all of that? Subsidized housing? They have an entertainment budget. Do you know how much that was? That used to floor me.
That's a lot.
You know how much it...
No, I don't know.
Anyone familiar with the entertainment? Over 130,000. I want to tell you something. We work in a community where out of the 3,000 people that live there, the federal government gives us $3 a head, which comes out to, actually it's $3 a household. So we have $2,500 to run, quote, programs for the poor. Phyllis Schlafly costs $6,000 to come and blab some garbage to you, and we pay them. And then they have their own university center. Guess what they have downstairs? Because when you get tired of books and all that nonsense, what can you do at PLU to be entertained?
You can go to the game room or the cave.
Describe it, though. We got to be concrete.
Okay, the cave is this great place for bagels, but that's not any bagel. You get veggie bagels, or meat and cheese bagels, or these really yuppie-type bagels and stuff.
Okay, and what do they have when you want to go in the game room? What kind of things do they have to play?
You've got your basic pool. You've got a bowling alley. You can rent anything you want for cheap to go on these neat Holden Village expeditions and stuff like that, cross-country skis. You can get rafts. You can get, there's ping pong tables, foosball, video games, the whole bit.
We leave anything out? All your needs are met. See? And rightly so. We live in a culture where we've said, I need entertainment. I mean, I was appalled to see videos there. I mean, I walked into Nancy. We have a PLU student taking care of Philip and Nicole in Parkland. And I walked in the room, and here in this little dinky college room was the TV, a VCR, and all of the technology to keep our minds and everything going frenetically. So maybe we never have to pay attention. Stop. And ask, why do we need a Coke machine that talks? Or a cash machine to put more credit on what is already an indebtedness that for some students becomes almost suicidal. They finally realize what they're into, and it becomes a burden. Okay? We could go on and on. I mean, there's incredible stuff there. But the goal, though, see, I want to the goal. The goal is, did you graduate? You want to hear, graduation is wonderful. Describe graduation to me. We all walk in.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. What does Dr. Rieke say?
He says, he says basically you've made it, you're the best. And it's really kind of a neat ceremony. All these profs dress up in their best robes, and they're all different pretty colors. And you have about six pastors in the front, and they all march. They kind of lead everybody in, and then the profs come in. And it's about a mile-long procession, it seems like. It's pretty neat.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And Doc? Huh? Yeah. We sing Her Brokering every year.
Yeah.
Earth and All-Star, da-da-da. Everybody gets into it. And then Dr. Rieke. Here's the moment, though. Here's the moment. You've spent all this money. You've gotten through all of this exodus because you're going to go to the promised land now. You're leaving the wilderness. Dr. Rieke gets up in his green doctor robes because he is a real doctor. And he gets up there, and Dr. Jungkunst, his right-hand man or left-hand man, wherever he stands, and he says, by the power vested in me, the state of Washington, I now declare you what? You are a graduate. You are credentialed to the hilt. Every credit card company will be sending you... Right? It's like women who have babies, they send all this stuff to them, right? Isn't it? Did you get that stuff?
Tons of credit cards.
Yeah. Why?
Because we came from PLU and we're supposed to make a lot of money.
Sure. And you know, they've been conditioned as long as they've been there that this is exactly what you're supposed to get. All I'm asking, because I use my credit cards all the time, is, okay, thanks.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. All I want to get at is the structure, the way we do things. It's designed so that when you go there, you will get that degree. And it's a good thing, by the way. And we embrace that good thing. And we don't want to put that down. But if we don't stop and say and open our eyes, but what about the rest of the people we meet? Why don't the people in need, like the communities in Salishan or in other in Portland and downtown areas or whatever, how come their needs can't be met? Okay, I'd just like you to look at our own structures first before we try to enter into another people's world where it doesn't work that way, where they don't use credit card, they don't even use banks, okay? And I think money is a good one to symbol around because the truth is in America, we can all say you can live anywhere you want, that's true. You can buy a house anywhere you want. You can do whatever you please as long as you have money. There's no coincidence that my son's favorite song is I Want to Be Rich. Yeah, right? Isn't that a song today? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have to learn how to see. Now, in a whole nation, if you were to take a nation apart, what nation is actually being restructured? They have a Russian word for it. Thank you. Somebody? Perestroika. Perestroika means restructuring. In other words, Gorbachev and crew, if we don't even, just try to see it for a moment, that the whole socialist system is just being pulled apart. And the way of doing business is now being turned upside down. And what Jesus the Christ did is turned all the structures upside down. All of them. And said, now let's take a look about how God looks at all of God's children. And now you're going to get a different picture if you use the eyes of Jesus here. And so I want to stress that. We're going to get to this one word soon. I will just use three words the whole session, all three sessions. This will be the first word, and we'll read it in a moment. I think I'll do that now, huh, Nancy? Okay. Okay. This is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul is talking about his own structures, his own life. This is what I would like you to start, just concentrate for a moment. All the good things that have happened to you, not the bad things. Think of all the things of value tonight. The things that you value the most, be it mom, dad, your Christian identity, PLU, if you happen to be that old, music, whatever it is. Paul says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Because I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. We could rewrite that script, right? I was a Lutheran of Lutherans. I was baptized as a child in the right way. I went to the right schools. I live in the right community. And I fought for the right causes. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them scabula. Everybody say it? It's a good word. It sounds, guess what it means? Just like it sounds. Do you ever say, that's scabula? What are we saying? Oh, you're catching it. It sounds like one of those Norwegian words, but it isn't. It's a Greek word. It's scabula. What is it? Say it out loud. You know, isn't it amazing how timid we are in a culture that boldly claims our lives and our streets and our money and our souls, and yet when we come to this little thing called excrement, it's a hard thing to say in public. Paul said it to the whole world, to every Christian since. It's translated rubbish in the good English, but it's scabula. It's scabula, he says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, doing everything that was right, but that which is through faith in Christ. Paul does not give up junk for Christ. I have heard testimony after testimony, right? Have you ever heard those? They bring tears to your eyes. I gave up my life on the streets for Jesus. Amen. I have given up drugs for Jesus. Amen. I have given up eating for Jesus. Whatever. Is that what Paul is saying? I challenge you tonight. He doesn't list all the frustrations of his life and the catalog of all his sins and the nasty little habits he had. He gives up what? He doesn't give it up. He counts it as what? He counts everything that he had gained as loss for knowing Jesus. It's scabula. And I want to say something. We need to confront the scabula of our structures. And only then we'll be able to go on to the things we will do tomorrow and the next day. This is not it's a funny word because it is, because it's a little bit embarrassing. That the man, the Apostle Paul, who we base our whole theology on, especially in the Lutheran Church, is saying, I'm counting everything that's of value to me, my pension plan, my family, my friends, my school, and counting that as loss. Instead of what the Protestant tradition in this country has been, is we are to give up all that is bad in our lives for Jesus. And so then when we enter our communities, we have to put in perspective with new eyes that which we count all that profits me, and then put it in comparison to this person called Jesus the Christ. And then it's fun. And then it gets to be fun. And then you go anywhere, you see. And you go into McDonald's, and you don't have to be bought by them. I mean, they're a wonderful corporation, but you don't have to believe that Big Macs is the only way to live. Okay? And I want you to start thinking of the messages that keep telling you. What is the heartbeat of America? Oh, so you all know it. How did you all know that? How did you know the heartbeat of America is a Chevy, is a car? Do you ever listen to a car's heartbeat? It doesn't go thump, thump, thump. If it does, you got a car problem. Cars are expensive. The structure of owning a car, every teenager I know wants what? Their own. Yeah, and who puts spirit into our life? And who builds excitement into our life? Pontiac. Think of some of the others. Who owns the American road? This is for the older people. Oh, she knew, though. Say it out loud over there. Buick. I'll bet you know all of those better than you know the books of the Bible. I bet. I bet we do. Okay. You ever hear the commercial? It won a national award out here for Safeway stores. It's over with now, but for 2 years it ran. You what? You work, some of you may know this, but you work a what? You work an honest day and you get an honest deal at Safeway. You work an honest day, you get an honest deal at Holden Village. You work an honest day, you get an honest deal at PLU. Work, 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 work. You got to keep working, and you got to keep using the opportunity that's afforded to you, because if you don't, what happens at the end? No rewards, no carrots, nothing. Okay? And that's what we believe in America, and I don't know of an American that I've met that doesn't believe that all the opportunities out there, if we can just get them in Head Start, those poor folks, and line them up, teach them a few skills, like how to blow their nose and eat with a fork, they too will make it. It's believed by everybody that I know. I will challenge you to see if anybody believes otherwise. And then we justify the end results. I can have my Porsche, and I can have everything else, and I can pay my taxes. They'll take care of the poor people and the people in need, because it's all justified. It's called the logic of opportunity. And I challenge to keep that in mind today as we go along, as we look at the structures in our own communities, and they're wonderful ones. Where you go shopping, who shops there? Where you bank and who can bank at those places? Okay, is that enough time? Okay, my wife says I'm done. See you tomorrow.
At the end of the small group activities that we're gonna break into, Dave Ellingson is going to have some announcements, and that will come just before Vespers. Before we break into small groups, we're going to do a couple of things here with the help of some people from the churches. I'd like to ask the group from Trinity Freeland and also the people from Salem to all come up here in the front. And if I could have some help moving these microphones out of the way, that would be really useful. Should I try? I'm on now. Okay. We're asking the people that are here in the circle to put name tags around themselves, and I'm going to try to read these. There's a student, there's a member of government, there's some water, energy, entertainment, housing, transportation, a banker, a teacher, food supply, worship, garbage disposal, and some other members of a community who are also standing here. They don't all have name tags on, but you can fill in the rest of the blanks. Now, what I want this imaginary community to do for us now is to hold hands. Would you all please hold hands? Okay. Now, I want you to spread out a little bit farther from each other. Okay? Spread out a little bit farther. Okay? Spread a little bit farther. Okay, now I want you to lean back. Okay. Now, the people that are sitting down, you're ruining the whole picture here. Okay, you're leaning back. Okay, what if this link right over here between the housing and the children gets broken? What would happen? And you were leaning. Okay, your community would fall apart. Let's try something else. Have the children in the housing get back together again. Okay, what if there was a problem between the students and the government in this community? Okay, fall apart again. Okay, good. I'd like to have food supply to come here and give me your name tag, put that on my arm. And children, give me your name tag. And housing, I'd like that name tag too. Okay. And transportation, give me that. Okay, good. Thank you. The rest of you can take your name tags off and just put them over there on that by my husband. Thank you very much. You can sit down. It was very well done. You can put those over there. One of the things that we haven't done yet is introduce ourselves. My name is Nancy Vignac. I'm delighted that my name is no longer Nancy Olson. Those of you who are named Olson may not think it's really kind of me to have such disdain for that name, but I didn't like it tremendously well. Especially Nancy Jo Olson. Okay. I'm going to ask one other group to come up here. I would like the people from Bethesda to come up. They're going to build a pyramid for us. Okay, here we've got another picture of a community that's being built. You can see down here the foundation of our community is housing and food supply. We are also having some very important aspects of our community here with transportation. And then way up there at the top are our children. Now, what if in this community the children started really raising a rumpus and jumping up and down and saying, we're not going to be part of this group? Thank you very much. You can put your name tags over there. Now, if you could visualize that this human pyramid was still here, think too of what would have happened if the transportation aspect of that community was shaky, wasn't reliable. That would have an effect on the community. And certainly, down there at the bottom, the foundation in terms of the food supply, water, all housing, all those essentials of life. If those pieces are pulled out, then, well, you saw exactly what happens. When the whole community doesn't have stability and interconnectedness among themselves, there's a problem. The whole thing will tumble down. Now, when you were doing your scavenger hunt today at Holden, you had a chance to learn something about the Holden community and all of the different things that you can find here in this particular community. And we're hoping that you had some sense of those very same things that you saw here in the human pyramid and in the circle. And if I could have somebody come and help me put this up. This is a drawing of the Holden community. It was drawn by I started the drawing, and then some of the high school students who live here year-round finished it up, because I don't know all the details of this community. But think about this for a little while. There's housing here, places for people to live. Obviously, a very central part of living here, even for the short time that we're here, is the food supply. There's transportation that you all came up on in the buses. There's a source of water at that end of the community. energy is generated from a hydroelectric plant, and also from, did you all find out about this little house right here where Chalet 2 used to be? What happens in that little house? What do they do there in the winter? Burn wood, okay. So that's another source of energy for this community. There is some shopping available here in the bookstore, and also some limited kinds of shopping in other places. Okay, so this gives you a sense of a map of the particular community that we're in right now, and how all of these pieces are really essential for us to be able to live here. And what we'd like you to do now is to draw a map of the communities that you've come from and try to include all of those essential pieces in your map of your community.